Buenos días, buenas tardes y buenas noches a todos y a todas. Y bueno, por las fechas en las que estamos, feliz Navidad a quienes lo estéis celebrando, ya sea con la familia o encerrados en casa, porque bueno, encerrados. En fin.
Como quien les habla, ¿no?
Exactamente. El día de hoy os invitamos a un nuevo episodio del especial, ¿no?, de este podcast de Playmaker, que decidimos llamar Convocadas y que tiene como objetivo pues atraeros a las mejores jugadoras del mundo. Y en el día de hoy estamos muy, muy, muy felices de poder traeros a, si no a la mejor del mundo, a una de las mejores del mundo.
Nada menos que Ana Vyacheva, la rusa zurda, nos atendió desde una cabaña en la montaña, en el medio de la nieve, en Rusia, ¿no? Alejada de la ciudad.
Sí, Ana Vyacheva, recordemos que se tuvo que perder el europeo, el reciente europeo que se ha disputado en Dinamarca, por lesión, y que bueno, está pasando unos días libres, entre comillas, que en los que se está intentando recuperar de esa espalda que todavía nos ha contado, ha dejado de dolerle, pero todavía nota que no está totalmente preparada.
Así es, hemos hablado de cómo lleva su recuperación, de cómo vio el equipo ruso en el reciente Campeonato Europeo en Dinamarca 2020, acerca de su experiencia olímpica, de que, digamos, por su corta edad en aquel entonces todavía no terminaba de entender exactamente dónde estaba, ¿no? Pero bueno, sin adelantar mucho más, vamos a escucharla a ella. Pero para quien no entiende inglés, la transcripción la van a encontrar en la página web, así que no se van a perder ningún detalle, entiendan inglés o no. Pero bueno, Ana está estudiando español, pero todavía no lo domina, ¿eh? Así que la entrevista por ahora es en inglés. Dijo que en 10 años tal vez podamos usársela en español, pero bueno, mientras tanto lo dejamos con Ana Vyacheva.
So we are with one of the best players in the world, basically. It's welcome, Ana Vyacheva. Hola, ¿cómo estás? We know you speak some Spanish, maybe?
Trying to learn.
Poco.
Un poco. You're learning via Duolingo? You're using Duolingo for that?
I am trying my best, I swear, but I'm too lazy. I do that like maybe a few times a week, but that's not enough to learn it, to study it like really good. I know that. But still, I do something and yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's just for fun, like you're studying Spanish or for something else?
It's actually a lot of good things in that. I think it's good for the brain to learn some new language. Sure. And it's, I like Spanish, I like Spain, so yeah.
We read in an article recently that you said that Barcelona was one of your favorite cities, and also Tenerife. You were there on holidays, but I think you were also in Spain to have surgery on your arm, right?
Madrid. Yep.
But you were on holidays in Barcelona. Why did you like it so much?
It's hard to explain for me. I like it now. I don't know if I will like it there, if I will live there for a long time. But first of all, it's the weather. I really like the climate there. And the people there are really like kind and stuff. And the timing, their style of living, this siesta, it's perfect for me, you know. So we'll see. Maybe I'll try someday.
You like the siesta, then?
But who doesn't?
I personally don't like it, but I'm curious, why do you call it siesta instead of nap, or it's just like the concept of...
I like it, no?
It's yeah, it's cool.
I guess one of the first questions has to be, how are you doing with your recovery? You missed the recent EHF Euro, so we were wondering, how are you feeling at the moment?
I'm good, thanks. I just recently started with running, just straight light running, some cardio. And it's good at least to do that, because it was really boring, really annoying time for me, this exercises, which I don't like to do. I think any athlete doesn't like to do that. I'm really looking forward to start some handball exercises. It's been like 3-4 almost 5 weeks without handball. Yeah, and I'm starting to miss that. But now it's good. I don't feel any pain, and yeah, we'll see how it's gonna be.
Even that annoying feeling that you, apart from the pain, of course, have you been able to follow the Euro? I mean, because sometimes some players that are supposed to be there, they are not able to follow the championship because it's like painful at some point.
It's not easy. I agree here, but I have to. This is my girls. I was supporting them as hell. And if I couldn't be there, then at least I can do it in front of the TV and send my energy, my vibes to them, because I can do nothing else. I couldn't in that moment, and yeah, it was hard. I hate it. I hate anywhere but on the field, but this is sport and I can do nothing with that.
This injury we're talking about, is the one you've got in the match against Chesime in Bucharest, or?
I think so, because I felt this sharp pain in the first half of this match, but also I think it's been hard weeks for us that period, and probably it's just one game after another, and my back just couldn't hold that much longer, and because of that it happened. So it's hard to say, but the moment when I felt that harsh pain, it was match against Bucharest.
Those weeks were very crazy, with a few matches away from home and the trips. How were you coping with that? And also, I guess you must have had tests every day before your trips, after your trips. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, actually it was okay. It's just I was only one moment with this flight from Esbjerg to Bucharest. We spent for like 3 hours in the airport because some rules changed in that country, and only that moment wasn't very good. But with these tests and stuff, we are really getting used to with that, because in Russia we play every week, so it means the weekend is for Champions League, then Wednesday or Thursday we play Russian Championship, so it's almost the same. Every 2-3 days we're making these tests, so it wasn't something new for us, and life is like that now, and we are just trying to be ready for everything and get used to it.
How do you foresee this future if, you know, we're not sure if this will change in the near future? Do you feel comfortable with the way things have been handled with the competition in Russia?
I don't want to think about it. You know, it's really crazy now, this handball with no supporters. It's not a full picture in any perspective, you know. And I just hope that for January and it's gone. 2021, and it's totally new year, and it's gonna be fine. I hope for that. I guess it can happen only in some fairy tale. But we'll see.
I guess your main goal for this new year is basically to be back on the court, of course. But apart from that, which is your main goal for this year?
Oh, but there is left Champions League and Olympics, I hope, which are going to be. So these two goals are the most important now, and then we will see. We just now we have to see if there is really going to be Olympics, because no one knows with this situation. It's crazy. So let's stick with Champions League, and in March is qualification. So there's plenty of things to do.
But now that you mentioned the Olympics, it is an Olympic year, despite the fact that they've been moved to 2021. So you were an Olympic champion in your first participation in the Olympic Games. You were also named MVP of the championship. What do you remember from, not from the championship itself, but maybe all the things surrounding the Olympic Games? Because I guess it's not easy to be at such a big stage at 21 and coming into the Olympic Village. What's the feeling?
Now you ask me, and my first thought was about pre-game, this moment when you're on the court and there is this feeling when you're shaking from up to toe and you cannot handle it at all. Yeah, I was 21 and I think it was like really early for anybody, but yeah, it
did
was
you enjoy
tough.
It?
And I hope I was so afraid, so I cannot even remember what happened to me in that moment. I just hope that in the next one I won't be that that afraid that much. And
actually,
yeah, I was worrying as hell.
Yeah, this is something that reminds me, like something that Nora Moore said recently, that she was trying to not to be nervous, that nervous, to be able to enjoy the moments in the moment she's playing and to build some memories and stuff. Because sometimes it's like we think you guys don't feel this nervous and these things. And we think like you go and you play and that's it. But the real thing is that you are like human beings and you feel those nervous as well, right?
Well, you see, it was in that moment. But now when you are growing, when you are getting experienced more and more, it's getting easier. It is. And now you are more relaxed. You're more sure, more confident about anything you're doing. And now you have some things which you know are good for you with this routine you do all the time. You know what's calming you, what's better not to do before a game. So it's kind of habits before a game or something.
Yeah.
And after you're trying just to tell yourself that if you're not enjoying there, then there is no sense to do anything.
So it's really important to work the mind as well, apart from the body. And
yeah,
to work out
more than body, I think. Mm.
And in that way, I mean, what you're saying, it feels like maybe you were in some state of unconsciousness in a way during the games. Is that maybe what made you play the way you did?
Oh.
I mean, were you fully aware of what was going on around you?
No, not at all. I mean, I have no answer for now on this question. I'm still trying to figure it out. But yeah, I think in most of moments, it's like that. You're like somewhere, you're doing stuff, and only after you did it, you understand like, that was quite good. And yeah. It is maybe strange
good.
To hear, but it is
yeah.
like that.
You say quite good. I mean, I understand where it comes from, but it's not many people that can say, I am an Olympic champion, and I was in the
MVP,
right?
Yeah, you know,
at 21.
When you think that way, it can make you relax, you know. But for an athlete, it's really the most dangerous thing ever. To understand, to accept that moment that I'm good, I can relax now and just, I don't know, do anything I want. But for me, there is like this principle, you know, if you start to think like that, then you can finish with handball because you have to work until the last day of your career. And if you stop in any moment, then you're lost. And so I'm trying to do not think about it. Maybe after I finish, we'll speak about it normally, you know.
Do you care about the fact of almost not everyone, maybe, but in the recent years, like the world of handball was naming you as, if not the best player of the world, one of the best. And those kind of things, does they affect you somehow, or you just don't pay attention to them?
It's like almost the same I told you just before. Of course, it's a big pleasure, big honor for me. But otherwise, I just try to do not pay attention much about it, because sometimes it can distract you really much. Yeah, so for now it's just a big honor and yeah, and appreciation of everything, gratitude and stuff. So yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, nothing more.
I guess we'll go back to the Euro. We wanted to know, how did you see the team? And you mentioned already that you were feeling bad for not being there, but how did you see the team performing?
For me, they did really, really, really good job. I was proud of every game happened there. Of course, the last one, against Denmark, game wasn't really going on our plan, their plan, but I'm sure they were trying their best and they did anything they could. So at least here I am supposed to be in my country also as well. They supposed to be proud of them, the girls, because I can imagine it was hard for them with all these cancelled tournaments before, with no practice in any games before, just to come and play from the clear page. And yeah, for me, they are the best girls in the world, you know, so I cannot tell anything else about their performance there.
And I guess in these championships, it's, it was only that defeat that put them in that position, but it was actually a great tournament for Russia, I think. And only that match, and also was not that bad, away from the semifinals, but people can be harsh, right, with results like that. I don't think a fifth place sounds too bad for Russia. What do you think about that?
You know, our mentality,
considering the whole thing,
right? We don't accept any place,
yeah,
but first. It's really hard for us to come back home with no medals. For us, fifth place is a bad result, but if you see from another side on that picture, it's not bad at all. But at the first moment, you always think that this is the end of the world and you have to finish with handball or in this of these crazy things. But yeah, actually, it is a good result in this situation with these things which were going around our team. So.
So basically, paying attention to that result that you mentioned, that it's actually not a bad result or not a bad performance. Was it a surprise for you what happened with Ambros Martin?
Yeah, I think it was a surprise for everyone. But here you see, it was a surprise, but there is nothing else I can say about it, because it wasn't our decision and we can do nothing about it. So,
going back to this, there's a profile that the Olympic Russian Committee published about you, and that's where we read that you were studying Spanish in Duolingo, and I guess you also...
This is, I'm sorry, but this is funny. When I'm saying that I'm studying, everyone's starting to speak with me Spanish. I'm trying, but I'm not that good yet, at least.
Yeah, but the question was more focused on your free time. You mentioned on that interview, if the translations were okay, right? But you said that you loved reading and listening to music. What are you into right now?
I'm so bad with the names. The book is from John Fowles, and it's, I am not sure about name in English, but it's Lieutenant's Woman or Lieutenant's Lover, something like that. I'm not sure about the English name.
How is it in Russian?
Любовница французского лейтенанта. Okay, you got it, huh?
Okay. Go on, write down it.
Yeah. And just, we are now with the, we have some free time from our team. But we, still I'm doing some exercises, and everyone of our team are doing that, but we just decided to go out of, from the city, and yeah, we're now in some country house, and here we have like more free time and yeah, to enjoy it. So it's quite a lot free time to spend it as much as you want.
When are you supposed to be back, like the team, to get back to work?
Yeah, we're getting back together on 2nd of January.
2nd of January.
Yeah, they gave us plenty of time, but I'm going to be back earlier because I have to be, I have to start with the handball a bit earlier than everybody.
You mentioned now free time, and there is something that comes up in every big championship, not so much during the year, but the thing about how tight the competitions and the calendars are. We've heard coaches complaining about the calendar and the schedule of this particular championship. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on having such a tight schedule that doesn't seem to be, you know, it?
I know what you mean, but... And I really do know, because in Russia it's really... Also, the really hard schedule during the season, and for example, it's just our club who changed our schedule with the games, which we are really proud of and thankful, because other teams in Russia, they had games. I mean, some teams played yesterday and they have last match on 27. So this is crazy, and after such a hard championship, come back and play some matches. This is crazy, and I mean, maybe there is some point to overlook on the plan of our games and so on, because this is really hard. But you know, this is also really hard to judge this stuff, because I don't know how will be better. So I'm not sure I have rights to say to them like do that and do that, because I don't know what's better in this situation. So I have no idea what they can create to make our life easier, but anyway, year by year I think they're trying to bring something new to this system, and We'll see how it's gonna work in the future.
Would you be involved with being in charge of any of organizations?
No.
Or
no, I think I'm too bad at it, and you know, you mean after sport?
Yeah.
Or no, I don't want to be connected. I don't want to be connected
on
sport in any. Maybe I will change my mind after, but for now, I think when I finish with the handball, I will do something totally opposite of this. So, but we'll see.
Because we know your dad used to be a coach, actually your coach as well. But
yeah,
but you never thought about.
No, I thought of course, but no, I would kill someone before I. I'm not that patient, you know.
You mentioned you're not patient, but we know, because you have mentioned it like several times. You were not left-handed when you were young, like when you were a child. Mm-hmm. But you have been like become left-handed. But you are not patient either. So how was the process? Like, because I think it takes time, right?
You see, I'm not patient with people. But I'm okay with anything besides it. Yeah, I play handball, but there is with no passion, you can do nothing. So yeah, it's totally fine for me to do such a work. For example, when you're injured, there is also this kind of work where you have to be, I don't know, patient for 200%, because otherwise you can get crazy with such... such a way of doing, yeah.
In terms of you're not patient with people, would you say you're a demanding teammate?
I don't think so. I am, but I will never show or tell something like that to my teammates. I will, if I will say something, I will say it normally, in a normal way. And but in most of situations, you don't have to do nothing, because usually your teammates are so well, so you don't even have to do nothing. It's just only if there are some young players, then you can help them, of course. But otherwise, no, there is no.
You just mentioned now that when you have some young teammates, you have to help them and stuff. Did you have anyone close to you that helped you in that way when you were growing up?
Yeah, I had my sister always, and I was really lucky to play with her almost everywhere I was going. So, yeah, she always had my back. Yeah, in this way, I'm really lucky to have her, and that we are both playing handball, so, yeah.
So we guessed she was important as well when, while you started to become popular and media started to be more interested, for example. So when it comes to this, about media, I would like to know if you ever had any issues with them.
With media, not much, but I had some problems when I was young and when I played with for national team and young national team, of course. And you know, in that age, you're like you want to see everything what people are talking about you. You want to see what they think about your game, and so on and so on. Yeah, and it was like huge mistake of me, because I was really, really upset about anything. It was even crying at some moments. And but I think every athlete is going through that stuff some periods. So yeah, it was a kind of lesson for me. So that's why for now I have nothing but Instagram, because I don't want to see anything of these things.
Have you ever feel like, you know, in an important game or in an important championship that you've been, did any comment at some point like make you feel stress, like affecting on your sport, the sport side? Did it ever happen to you?
In that period, I think, with the youth national team. For now, I'm trying to work on that. I'm trying to be more grown up with such a things, to explain it to myself all the time that it doesn't matter. Because otherwise, even in this situation is mine, I'm not in the social medias, but anyway, someone can tell you something, you know, what happened there or anything. But for now, it's much, much easier. But in that period, when I was like, I started with national teams at in age of 14, I think in that moment, your mental health is not ready yet for such a thing. So yeah, I'm glad it didn't left any injuries in my head, but this is really a bad thing.
You mentioned that you started in the national team at age 14. This sort of series of podcasts is called Convocadas in Spanish, which means when they call you out for something, when you're called for something. So what do you remember from the first time you were called out for a national team?
you see, I think I was prepared for that, because it was a moment, I don't remember how old was I, but I think it was a period when I had some injuries where I couldn't go there. So I skipped some camps, and I came after like maybe two camps to the national team, so I was quite prepared for that. And it went actually much easier for me, just because our previous coach, Trifilov, he doesn't, not paying attention, he doesn't touch new players for some period, just for them to adaptate there. So it was quite okay. I think so. In my first championship, I was sitting on the tribunes for the whole time. So somehow it just went like on some side from me. I wasn't even involved. So
So it's like you started to little by little getting used to,
yeah,
to
I
be
was
part
like,
of the national team.
Coming there with national team, I just saw it from a side, and on the next championship I came as a normal part of the team. So it was, I think, even better for me to have it like that, because just to be prepared more for next time. Yeah, I think it was good for me.
And I guess this question is like, they have made you like a million times, but at that period of time when you were getting used to the national team and being part of the national team, have you ever thought about becoming the main player or the leader?
You know, I never think about handball that way. For me, as I always say, handball is not a game of one player. Doesn't matter how good you are. You will never win any competition just with the one good player. It's always the team. It's always your teammates. It's always your staff. So even if you want to be good, the best player, first where you have to start is your team and your teammates and this connection and so on, because otherwise you're going to be lost, I think. So, no. Of course, you see, if you're not, if your team not good and not winning, probably no one will ever know about you. So, yeah, somehow like that.
Thank you so much, Anna.
I guess next
thank you,
time,
guys. It's a pleasure.
We'll have to interview you in Spanish. I'm sorry. I need to learn.
No, poor.
Okay, 10 years, maybe.
Wish you the best in your recovery and wish to see you soon back.
Спасибо.
Bye.
Спасибо. Gracias.
Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao.